Well, if you were here last week, then you were probably here by yourself, because we weren't here last week. We were actually over in the Dallas City Park. We did church in the park last week, and we had a wonderful time together worshiping the Lord and enjoying some delicious barbecue and pies afterwards. But today, we're back, and I was planning on jumping back into our series titled The Bible, A True Story. But as I kept trying to hear the Lord and read through where I thought we were supposed to go, I kept kind of coming up blank. I kept kind of hitting a wall. And so as I prayed and as I just kind of gave it to the Lord, he reminded me of how we ended our service a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Craig shared with us a simple but very powerful message on love. Loving God and loving people. And he talked about the fact that loving people can be very difficult, right? It can be a very difficult thing. He also talked, though, about the fact that God's love has no limits. And if you were here, you may remember that at the end, when I came up afterwards to close the service, I mentioned how it was those two things, those two points that he talked about that stood out to me the most. And I share that the reason I think it's hard to love is that we try to love in our own power. And the truth is, our love does have limits, right? We can't love people the way God intended us to love people in our own power, in our own strength. And as I was saying this, I shared about a series that the Lord reminded me of that I spoke a little over 6 years ago. I went back to look to see, and it was March of 2013. And the title of that message was Warning: Do Try This at Home. Now, I have the slide here that I did when we originally did this. This is the slide that we had from 6 years ago. And that series, it covered six topics of things that you should try at home. You should pray at home. You should read your Bible at home. You should do the YMCA. That's worship. Sorry. You should worship at home. You should give. You should operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you should live holy lives. These things you should do at home. And the concept of this series is that we do all these things at church, right? All these things we do at church. We pray, we read the Bible, we worship, we give, we allow the Holy Spirit to move. We try to present a holy lifestyle. But are we only doing these things at church? Because the truth is, these things should be an everyday part of our lives. It's something that we should be doing all the time. And so at the end of Pastor Craig's message, I was talking about the fact that the only way we're going to love people the way God desires us to love people is by operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as I was praying about what God wanted me to share this week, I felt led to revisit this idea of operating in the Holy Spirit, not just at church, but at home and wherever we go. And so my title for this week is Warning: Do Try This at Home. Try operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know for some people, when they hear a title like this, they think, amen, brother, preach it. Come on. Yeah, bring it. Right. While others may think, oh, man, if he gets all freaky and starts shaking and dancing around, I'm out of here. Well, then there's others that are just like, well, what does that even really mean? Operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's all sorts of thoughts that may be going through your head. But my hope this morning is to answer that question. What does this even mean? What does it mean to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit? And for some, maybe, what is the Holy Spirit? And for some of you, I think this might be just kind of a little reminder message. Well, for others, this may be something new that will challenge you. But I felt God wanted us to look at these things again and to understand that he gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. And it's in Acts that we see the gift of the Holy Spirit given to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus. Now, in Acts 1, we see Jesus talking with his disciples. giving them some final encouragement and direction before he goes back to be with the Father. This is after he has risen from the dead. And there's this time in between before he goes where he's spending with the disciples. But now he's here in Acts 1. He's talking with the disciples about to ascend to the Father. And in Acts 1, 4 through 5 is where he says this. And I have it to put up on the screen so that you can follow along. It says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit was a gift that God was going to give his people. And the disciples were told to go and wait for that gift. And then in Acts 1:8, he says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus tells them here that they will receive power. And this is the power that I'm talking about when I talk about operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's after this that Jesus then ascends up into heaven to once again sit at the right hand of the Father. And so the disciples, they listen to the Lord. They do what he says. They go and they wait. And in Acts 2, we see this gift of the Holy Spirit come. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Again, I have it to go on the screen so you don't have to flip there real quick. It says this. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, in my humble opinion, aside from Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, I believe this is one of the most important moments in the Bible. One of the most important moments really in the history of mankind. Because it's at this moment that everything changes. It's at this time that everything changes for anyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. Now, to truly understand this idea, though, we have to go back in time a little bit. We actually need to go back to the beginning of time. Now, we all know, I think most of us know the story of Adam and Eve. We actually took some time to talk about them when we started our series, The Bible, A True Story. And as we talked about them, we talked about how when they sinned, it separated them from God. It brought this separation. They could no longer just walk and talk with God the way that they used to. Everything changed for them at that point. But little did they know that God was working out a plan that would one day reunite himself with man and woman once again. And so after the fall, God was distant from his people. He only spoke through certain people, through prophets and kings and priests and those that he chose to speak through. That is until he became Emmanuel. Right? That plan that God had from the beginning. Now, we all know the Christmas story where Jesus came to earth as a baby, as Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, right? God with us. It was then that he came as a human and he was with us. He was with his people. God himself walked on this earth. And the sad thing is many were oblivious to the fact that the God of this universe was here on this earth. And then when they did begin to realize who he was, instead of worshiping him the way they should have, they decided to kill him. But he was God, right? And he didn't stay dead. As we talked about earlier with communion, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. And so now we find ourselves back where we started here in Acts, where he told the disciples to go and wait for the Father's gift, the Holy Spirit. And so here we are back in Acts 2. And in verse 3 of the scripture I read earlier, it says once again, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, this sounds a little weird and freaky, but let me paint a picture for you. You see, all throughout the scriptures, we see the Spirit of God represented by fire. So the Jewish people, they knew that fire represented the Holy Spirit. So when these men see this fire enter the room, they know what it is. They know it's the Spirit of God. Now, this fire that comes into the room, it comes in as one big fire. But what happens? It begins to separate and to fall on every one of them. All 121 of them that were there had this fire fall on them. And this is extremely significant because it was at this point that it went from God just with us, right in our midst, around us, to God now in us as that fire fell upon them. So no longer was God this distant God that only spoke through prophets, through kings and through priests. And no longer was he just God with us, right? It was around us. And if you happen to be hanging out with him or around him, now he lives inside of us. And the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, the man, is the same Spirit that now lives in us. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, part of the Trinity, is alive and is in us. And it's that Spirit that gives us this power to be his witnesses that it talks about in Acts 1:8. It's that Spirit that gives us significance. And it's because of that significance that we should be doing this at home. Not just at church. We should be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit all the time, wherever we go, whatever we do, because it's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to love him and to love others in the way that he desires us to love them. It's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to do and be those things that God has called us to do and be those things that are above and beyond ourselves. Without the Spirit, we can do nothing. But through the power of the Spirit, we can do all things. Now, the main text I wanted to read to you this morning is actually found in Colossians 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, I'm going to put it on the screen this morning. But this scripture, it's a powerful scripture because it tells us why it's so important that we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen closely to what it says. If you've been around here at all, you've heard me quote the end of this scripture time and time again, because this scripture literally changed my life. I listened to an amazing pastor up at a conference for youth pastors, and he shared on why he was Pentecostal. And it was at that moment that he shared this scripture, and it rocked my world. And so this is a powerful scripture I want to read to you this morning. Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says this: "The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people." What's the mystery? It's the Holy Spirit, right? It had been kept hidden for years, but now, after Pentecost, this door was opened. And verse 27 says, "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Listen to that. Listen to those words. Let those words resonate in your ears. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you catch it? Do you understand that you are hope? You are the hope of glory? That this mystery has been disclosed to us. This mystery is the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us. His Spirit in us makes all of us as believers the hope of glory. Christ in you, His Spirit in you, means that you're able to love others in the same way that He loves them. His Spirit in you means that you're able to do or to be whatever God needs you to do or be for that moment or for that person in that specific time who has that need. It means that you are the hope for your neighbors. You are the hope for your coworkers that don't know Jesus. And it means we need to be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. Why? So that we can be this hope that God has called us to be. Now, the problem is many of us have trouble believing that we can be the hope for anybody or anything. What, me? Little old me, right? You know, there's humility and then there's stupidity, right? You know, what, me? We think we can't be the hope for anybody. How can I really be the hope of glory to someone else? But think about this. How could 12 ordinary men change the world? Or how could an unschooled, ordinary, gruff fisherman speak to a crowd where 3,000 get saved in one day, raise the dead, make the lame to walk? It wasn't him. It was the power of Jesus Christ in and through him. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Through Christ in us, we become the hope of glory to others. Now, the problem is we think if someone needs prayer or someone wants to give their life to Jesus or is looking for help of some kind that is beyond us, we think we need to find a pastor to go and have them talk to them, right? How many of you? It's like, oh, yeah, let me get my pastor. Wait, let me lead you to my pastor. But why? Think about it. What do you have that I don't? Christ in you makes you the hope of glory. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that's in me. If they've come to you, then God has given you whatever gifts you need to help them. It's amazing what a little love and compassion can do. And you want to know my little secret? The truth is, rarely do I know what to do in specific situations. Most of the time, I'm clueless. And most of the time, I'm like, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. Right? Let me give you a little example. I asked him if I could share this again this morning. Many of you have heard Larry's testimony. If you were here at Easter a few years ago, we did a video. Larry's our amazing usher that is often here greeting you as you walk in the door. If you haven't heard that testimony, I would encourage you to go on to our Facebook page. You can listen to the video that we made a few years ago. But it was a little under 7 years ago when Larry walked into my office. I'd only been a senior pastor for about 10 months. I was still trying to figure this whole thing out. I had people leaving the church. I didn't know what was going on, right? And he walks into my office, and I'm thinking he just wants to meet with me, you know, tell me he's going to come to our church or something like that. I had no idea. But he sits down and he begins to talk to me, and he hands me an envelope and he says, "Will you give this to my daughters when I take my life?" You can imagine the terror and the horror that went through my body. Whoa, whoa, what? No, wait. I'm not prepared for this. I don't know how to deal with this. God, you got the wrong person. I literally wanted to call my pastor from Newburg and say, "Help, come here, please help me." Because I didn't know how to deal with this situation. I had no idea what to say. And so all I did is I said, "Okay, wait a second here. Can we just pray? Can I just pray for you right now?" And so we just began to pray. And as we were praying, I was just seeking the Lord for answers. Lord, what do I do here? How do I respond? How do I help him? And it was in that time of prayer that God began to give me some words. God began to show me some things to say to him, to encourage him. And God guided me through our time together there. And the interesting thing is, I asked Larry if I could share this. He reminded me of something that I almost forgot about. I didn't know at that time, but as I laid my hands on him, he told me later that he had never felt such warmth and such power flow through his body. I didn't know it. I didn't feel it. It wasn't me. It was the power of the Holy Spirit at work in me. And there was something that was happening to him as that was happening. And so it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. I could not have made it through that time on my own. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God directed me. I didn't feel capable to deal with what I was facing in that moment in time. And it's just a reminder that we're never capable on our own. But Christ in us makes us the hope of glory to others. And that day I became the hope of glory for Larry. And now he is a huge part of our church that many lives have been impacted in and through him. When we find ourselves in those places where we don't have the words to say, my encouragement is to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, worry about nothing, pray about everything, right? When those moments come, what am I going to do? What do I say? Pray. Give it to the Lord. We can't worry about whether or not we have what it takes, because I can tell you we don't. In our own power, we don't. So pray for them. Love them. Seek the Lord. Do whatever God puts on your heart. You see, if you read through the book of Acts, you won't see them say, oh, wait, I got to go find a pastor. Wait, let me see. I got to go, you know, figure out what to do here. No, the fact is right there on the spot, they would just pray for people and people were healed and lives were changed through the power of the Holy Spirit in them and through them. We are his disciples. And God has called all of us to be pastors. He has. It's just that some of us are disguised. Some of us are disguised as contractors, teachers, loggers, you know, mothers, businessmen and women. And it doesn't matter what disguise you wear. Christ in you makes you the hope of glory to those that God wants to touch in and through your life. You see, I think we're good at overcomplicating a lot of things. But I really believe God, he's amazing and he's huge, but I believe he's a simple God. And he uses simple, ordinary people to change the world. When you look through Acts, I think we fail to realize the practical ways we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we think of the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit, our mind goes back to the old days of Pentecostalism. A lot of times that's what we think of, where the church services got a little crazy. People were bouncing off the walls, falling down, rolling around, right? And we get this idea in our minds that that's the only way the power of the Holy Spirit still works. But that's not how it was in Acts. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit at work everywhere. Think about this. One of my favorite stories as a kid was Peter and John, right? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, right? We think of them when you look at Peter and John. That's what I just said, right? Peter and John, they were walking to the temple, right? They weren't in a church service. They weren't in the temple. They were on their way to the temple. They just see this man on the street, this crippled man begging. And Peter says, I don't have any money. I don't have any gold. What I do have is the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You see, God gave us the power of the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And we cannot be effective in our walk with the Lord if we aren't using this amazing gift that he's given us. And my heart is for all of us to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is not just for church. It's for everywhere. And I also want people to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is not this weird, freaky thing. The truth is, we are the ones. People are the ones that freak other people out. We are the ones that scare people away from the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to hear my take on the weird and freaky Pentecostalism that scares people? I don't care if you want to hear it. I'm going to share it with you anyways. You see, the truth is God moves and operates at times in mysterious ways. And the thing is when he does, powerful things happen and lives are changed. But the problem is we as humans, we see how impactful those moments are. And so what do? We try to duplicate that moment. We try to recreate those mysterious things. Right. We you know, someone one time was probably just laying hands on someone and they fell over and they thought, oh, I think I pushed him a little bit. So if I just stand up and hit him on the forehead, whoa, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing out some of these things. There are things, you know, I know people one time probably God healed them and they began to laugh. And so then you had this big thing. Oh, well, that happened. So we just got to laugh and that will bring the power of the Holy. We try to recreate these things. And it just becomes weird, right? Instead of powerful things happening, it causes people to feel uncomfortable. And it creates this idea that Pentecostalism, that the movement of the Spirit is this weird and freaky thing that only happens if you do this or that, or if you get the thing just right. Are you tracking with me here? The fact is, God never desired it to be this weird and freaky thing. The Holy Spirit is an amazing gift that God has given each of us. And Acts 1:8 tells us that the purpose of that gift is to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And the only way we're going to be able to do what he's called us to do is that if we're doing that at home, that if we're doing that other places besides church, that we're operating in the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. And not in a weird, freaky way, but simply letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct what we do. Now, that doesn't mean he might not ask you to step out of your comfort zone at times, to ask someone that you don't even know to pray for them or to lay hands on them. But it's listening to the Lord, not trying to duplicate what you think needs to happen. It's letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct what we do, allowing ourselves to decrease so that he might increase in and through us. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit's about. It's us decreasing so that the Holy Spirit can increase and move in and through us. And the way this is going to happen is by allowing the Holy Spirit to be an everyday part of our lives. That when we wake up in the morning, we say, Lord, come, move in me today. Allow your Spirit to stir in me. And you see, here's the thing. I think we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit more often than we realize we do. And I've talked about this before, those times where something happens, or where someone comes to you and maybe they're sharing something and you begin to speak these words to them. And afterwards, you're like, whoa, that was good. Where did that come from? Right. And we start to get all proud like, yeah, I wasn't bad. It wasn't you. It was the power of the Holy Spirit through you. And I think the more we realize that, the more we're open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to see lives impacted and changed, because it's not us trying to create. It's not us trying to do something. It's us being open and allowing Jesus to do what he wants to do in people's lives. Amen. Christ in you. Christ in us. Makes us the hope of glory to those around us. And we have to understand that and we have to realize that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to gather together and to seek you. And Lord, I want to be someone who operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be someone who hears your voice and does what you desire me to do. I believe that I did that this week, Lord. As I was looking to go a different direction, you brought me back to this. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I want to continue to learn how to do that. And I pray for all of us that we would continue to learn what it means to, Lord, operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, to not operate in our own power. Because in our own power, we can do nothing, Lord. In our own power, we'll accomplish nothing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will accomplish great things, Lord. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will use us in ways that we never imagined you would use us. I think of Peter, Lord, that this man who in one moment is denying you. And Lord, it's in that time that he denied you, he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in him. But then you look just a chapter later, and now he is empowered with the Holy Spirit, and he's standing boldly in front of those same people that crucified you. He's standing boldly, and he's speaking the truth, and we see 3,000 people come to know you, Lord. And we see him do miracle after miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in him. And Lord, when you look back at the scriptures, it says that they said they were amazed at these unschooled, ordinary men. Many of us, Lord, who are we? How can we be the hope of glory? Well, Lord, we can't be it through ourselves. We can only be it through the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so, Lord, help us to see the reality that, Lord, you in us opens up a door of opportunities, Lord, for us to be light, for us to be hope, to be joy, to be love, to be grace, to be mercy to those around us. And so may we learn to operate in the power of your Spirit. May we learn to live the life that you've called us to live. And Lord, right now, I want to pray for those that are here, that you would stir your Spirit up in them. That you would help them to seek the power of your Spirit. That you would help them to live in a way that, Lord, the things that are coming out of their mouth, the things that they're speaking, the things that how they're reacting in situations, it wouldn't be them, but it'd be the power of your Spirit through them, Lord. May we be open to move in you. May we be open to allow your Spirit to use us to change our city, Lord, to change our state, to change our nation, Lord. It started with 12 people. 12 people changed the world, Lord. We've got more than 12 people in here right now, Lord. If you would just use us, allow us to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and be used in a way that can change our city for you, Lord. We thank you for these things. We thank you for the power of your Spirit that you've given us. May we use it for your glory, to be the hope of glory to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.